Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
My name is Sheikh Zaid Al-Salami.
A few years ago, I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih Al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah Al-Uzma Al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. These are only the most basic of pieces of information that we are able to see a drop in the ocean when it comes to the heritage of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And when you do go through the many ahadith, the many verses from the Holy Quran, you're able to see the wonders of Islam. We will always somehow be dealing with people who do not share the same ideology, do not share the same mindset, but we can still coexist. We're still able to meet the demands and the requirements of the quickly progressing society around us, but not at the cost of our iman or faith. And unfortunately, one of the ongoing discussions that we can see in today's modern world is how can Islam comply with the requirements of modern civilization? And is Islam a threat to today's society, especially in Western countries? And unfortunately, those who are, and we can only brand them as such, Islamophobes, do strongly believe that Islam is at conflict with modern society, and Islam cannot integrate or be a part of today's world because of not only its application of Sharia law, which has turned into a very scary, monstrous topic, but also because the element of violence that is inherent within Islam as a religion. This is an important topic, and I do believe that we have a individual, religious, moral, social duty to try to pinpoint what it is that we stand for as Muslims and how we are able to deal with these things. I think the point that I do want to mention here is that so far in everything that we have gone through in this simple book, very valuable book as well, is that we can live in anywhere, any part of the world, and uphold our religious values without compromising, and also be successful in coexisting with others and not forfeiting anything as far as our belief system is concerned, and also not coercing the other person or the other society or the other community to live in a way that we see to be ideal. Even when it comes to issues of halal and haram as well, you know, when we come across the ayah, lakum dinukum waliya din, you have your religion and I have my religion, and many of the other, la ikraha fi din, many other verses like that, which also need to be explained within the correct context, we can understand that Islam deals with all of these things in a comprehensive way, and also in such a way that we are proudly able to say that we can live with Islam anywhere and everywhere.
Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است چه فلان نماز و ثواب داره فلان روزه اون
است. One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فلان درختکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره, دعا هم داره, ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره, همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment.
There are many lessons
of the book
by those prophets. And
eat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
As you know, so far we're mainly dealing with akhlaqi, spiritual, social points, which is all that this book is about. As for the ahkam and the fiqh and things like that, that's for another area to deal with. Now we're on part four, and part four is the ta'amul, the way we as human beings need to deal with animals, with al-haywan, with animals. And like anywhere else, like everywhere else, Islam has a lot to say about animals. And subhanAllah, again, you know, you really feel that empowerment when you are able to see that Islam is going through all of these areas in detail and speaking about them without any kind of flowering or, if we could say, just slogan usage or things like that. No, it's not. And it's not being put under pressure, you know, becoming a vegan and doing this and doing that. You know, Islam doesn't say that you need to be on this side of an extreme, nor do you need to be on that side of an extreme. And from what we are able to go through here, we can understand a lot of what it is that our religion has to say. Without doubt, we do understand that animals themselves, who have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a benefit, and they weren't created for out of vanity or for no reason. And this benefit goes back not only to nature itself, but also to us human beings, where we as human beings are able to use animals in certain positive ways for our own well-being. And there are animals that can provide a lot of assistance and help for our sustainability as human beings, in the positive way, of course. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created everything, created also animals and sees animals as a ni'mah that He has endowed upon us, and also a responsibility that He has entrusted to us. And for centuries and centuries, we have information that speaks to us about how human beings have used animals, whether it be for cultivation, whether it be for farming, whether it be for transport, whether it be for eating, whether it be for defending one's territory, whether it be for any other kind of human usage. As far as pieces of the animal is concerned, you know, all parts of an animal can also be used: the hair, the skin, the leather, the nails, the horns, the milk, the meat. All of these pretty much become a capital for a human being, especially for a farmer, for a butcher, for the average in person who wants to use any of these divine ni'mas given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to be mentioning a lot of things, even when it comes to a dog, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to deal with dogs as well. Inshallah, we will continue on speaking about benefiting from animals in the next segment. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams. Hear the children scream.
There Was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.